Well, as we hear more and more talk about the necessity for health care reform and the number of uninsured people in the United States, we also hear about the impact those problems have on the emergency departments in hospitals across the country. Until recently, the general wisdom has been this, that because people don't have health insurance and because the law states they may not be turned away by the emergency department, then the uninsured are clogging emergency facilities and in some cases overwhelming the ER's ability to handle so many people. In more recent months, there seems to be a slight shift in that thinking about who is accessing emergency services. And to help us understand the situation, we've asked Dr. John McCabe, professor and chair of emergency medicine at SUNY Upstate, and who we've chatted with on many previous occasions, to join us this morning. Good morning, Dr. McCabe.
Good morning.
Well, you've got plenty of business in the emergency room these days.
Yes, it's a constant supply of patients.
Yeah,
Never ends.
Never ends. Who are these people who are showing up?
Well, I think they're basically the same people we've always seen, with the exception that they're probably sicker today than they were in the past, and that many of the simple problems don't show up in the emergency department anymore.
They don't. And the reason the simple problems don't is because what people are taking care of them themselves, they feel like they don't have insurance?
Well, I think if you look at the last 10 or 15 years, people take care of themselves differently. Also, many of the private practices, primary practices, have realized that having hours in the evening, hours on the weekend, is good. And then also many patients still go to outpatient facilities like urgent care facilities for their simple problems.
Sure. And so there is a shift because you've still got just as much business as you had before. Who are you seeing now?
Well, I think we continue to see the very sick, the patients who leave the hospital, get sick again and come back. Complex disease, multiple trauma continues to be, particularly
sure.
at our hospital.
The complex diseases, and they go home from the hospital, a lot of that is due to insurance making sure that they go home early, isn't it?
Well, I'm not sure it's insurance, but certainly, you know, medicine has shifted, and what used to take 10 days in the hospital now takes 3 days in the hospital. And
mm-hmm.
so a small percentage of those patients are certainly going to return if they get worse. And you can look at that as a failure of the system, or it may be as a success of the system that there is a place and patients do know to come back.
Well, that's true. Although if you're one of those patients who got sent home early and had to go back, then you might not look at it quite
sure.
the same way. But let's talk now about the uninsured. Are you seeing more uninsured people? Do you even know they're uninsured? Insured.
At the time that I see people, we have no idea.
Because, by law.
Well, by law and by our philosophy of practice. If you show up, you get taken care of.
You do.
No questions asked.
But let's make sure people understand what that law is. It's called EMTALA, EMTALA.
Right.
And it stands for Emergency Medical Treatment and Labor Act. That's federal legislation. And what does it say?
It says that any person who presents to an emergency department and requests care has to have a medical screening evaluation and needs to be stabilized. So someone has to look at them, understand their problem, and be sure that they're stable, either to be treated or to be sent to another location for their care, a clinic, an office, for instance.
And the question about insurance isn't even asked until after that care has been administered.
Correct. By law, it can't be asked.
Right, exactly. And therefore, a lot of people without insurance have figured out they can go to the emergency room and get some of their care. Are they showing up for primary care?
Well, I would say they show up with things that certainly could be taken care of elsewhere. But again, we have to remember that the poor, the uninsured, often don't have means to go elsewhere, don't have access, and access is a big problem for those patients in the community. It's hard to find a doctor willing to take people on a regular basis if they're uninsured or underinsured.
And you can't blame a doctor. A doctor's got to keep the lights on and the doors open as well. And so it's kind of a vicious cycle, and it's not easily solvable, which then takes us to the healthcare reform conversation. We're not going to go there this morning. I want to ask more about some of these folks you're seeing. So they're uninsured, and I've also read that when folks show up, they have put off primary care, so by the time they do get to the emergency room, the problem is bigger than it would have been had they been accessing primary care.
Sure, I think that's one of the problems of the current system, that if you don't want to go to see the doctor because you're going to have to pay for it and you can't, then you put off your care. And potentially, then, when you finally do show up to the healthcare system, you're sicker than you ought to have been.
Absolutely. Absolutely true. What do you expect in the future? Do you see any of this shifting anytime soon?
Well, I guess the primary concern is perhaps we'll see it shift negatively in the near future. The stories about everyone losing their jobs means most of those people are losing their insurance as well.
Yes.
And they're going to need a place to go.
Yes.
Hopefully in the long term, the solution is some sort of universal coverage for everyone.
You want to take a stab at any suggestions for how that should be changed?
Oh, well, I personally believe that the country ought to provide some form of universal baseline insurance for everyone. It seems reasonable to me, and certainly in many of the civilized parts of the world, that's exactly what happens.
Are there any steps being taken currently that you know of, and I don't mean just at University Hospital or even Central New York, to look at how emergency rooms are operating to make them serve that bigger population any better than they're being served now?
Well, I think it's constant. We are looking all the time at the patient population. We do case management for the people that come frequently, where we identify a better source of care could be over here rather than repeat visits to the emergency department. We obviously are trying to move the simple patients through quicker, although they really don't clog things up. It's really the access to hospital beds that slows down most hospital emergency departments.
Ah, see, now that's an interesting concept, too. I don't think we think about that part of it. I've actually heard, and again, this is reading that I've done outside of here, about EMTs that say, I can't take you to such and such a hospital, and people insist that they go to a hospital, and it just clogs things even more.
Yes, that's a problem. And but again, in this community and many others, we've tried to get rid of the diversion system because you're right, it just puts patients in places they don't want to be, and everybody's unhappy, the medical records are somewhere else, and it's not a system of care that makes sense. So if you keep the emergency department running efficiently, move the patients out to the hospital beds who need them, then you can always take the next patient. And that's really the goal for all of our departments.
Absolutely. And yet we hear about hospital beds being taken away in different communities, which just, again, it seems like a vicious cycle.
Yep. If you have fewer hospital beds, there's fewer places to put the patients who need them.
That's true. Anything else we should know about what's going on in emergency rooms today?
No, I think, though, the basis of emergency medicine is the same. Anybody, any time of day, any day of the year can show up and get care. No questions asked. That's a pretty good insurance policy for the country.
It absolutely is.
And that's the basis on which the departments exist.
Very good. Well, Dr. John McCabe, once again, thanks so much for your time this morning. We've learned about emergency medicine. You've brought us up to date.
My pleasure. Thanks.
Hi, I'm psychologist Dr. Rich O'Neill with this week's Checkup from the Neck Up. Cupid's arrow is really a boomerang, or the spelling bee of love. Well, yesterday being Valentine's Day, I hope you all had a cuddly poo kind of day. But if we haven't yet found that special, delectable someone, if we're holding on to the idea that there is someone out there who'll fulfill our dreams and we just have to look long enough to find them, here's the bad news. We can't have the relationship we want. We only get the relationship we make. So, dear lover-dover listeners, you want the good news? What? What'd you say? I can't hear you. Now, isn't that just like relationships? We don't get what we want, either because we don't speak up, or the other person has bananas in the ears and can't hear us. I, by the way, at least according to my wife, am auditorially gifted, because I hear her like I have two bananas in each ear, the second one in case the first one falls out, and I'm even in danger of hearing what she wants rather than doing what I want. I must admit, I'm very fond of bananas. And I know I'm not alone in this because I asked my MD at my wife's request, I might add, to check my hearing because she thought I must be going deaf. My doc laughed and said, he hears that all the time from spouses. He checked and there was no problem. No physical problem, anyway. So there, my sugar plum, did you hear that? Now, one of the many problems many of us have in relationships, present company excepted, of course, is based on another fantasy, that the other is there to listen and understand us. Big mistake. Fact is, relationships go better if we listen and understand the other person first, and then maybe, on a good day if the stars are aligned and we brushed our teeth and combed our hair, maybe we might get listened to and understood a little. So next time you want a relationship, and you know, guys, in the dictionary of love, the first letter in relationship is not S. It's T, as in talk. So next time you want to relate, try letting the other person talk first. Listen, say back the heart of the message. Ask if you got it, and when you did, and only then say something from your heart. The good news? If you do this enough, guys, Cupid's boomerang principle of relationships, what goes around comes around, might come around. And if you brushed, combed, and cleared the dishes, get to go to the spelling bee and do some creative spelling. I'm Dr. Rich O'Neill. Thanks for listening.